All right, everybody's hair looks better than mine, so we'll send that to him later. It's fall, and Marissa loves the fall, and I never really liked it until she started liking it. But it is beautiful outside. The other day, yesterday morning, Faith and I were outside very early just looking at the Lord's sunrise, and it was absolutely beautiful. Our God is so wonderful to us. Let's go before Him and ask for His blessing over our time in the Word. Father in heaven, I do thank You. We praise You, Lord, for You are worthy of our praise. We thank You for the love that You have displayed to us and how You display it every morning, every day. And Your mercies are new, and You give them to us in the morning, knowing what we need to sustain our day. You love us with an everlasting love. In fact, You set Your love on us, and it is there every day, and we could only look for it to become even greater and greater. And there will be a day in glory, Lord, where we see Your love with an unveiling. And I just ask, Lord, that You would help our minds and our hearts go there today. Help us, Lord, to think of You and what it is to be in Your presence, Your glory, Your majesty, Your splendor, and just the amazing gift that we have at a promised eternal life with You. Lord, I do ask that You would comfort and heal Rocio and Marissa, that You would prepare the Van Ginkles and Barbara for this week ahead. And Father, we are Your sheep, and You are our great shepherd, and I just thank You that we can place our care in Your hands, knowing that You will take care of us. Be with us now, Lord, as we turn to Your Word. Help it to be fresh in our mind, comforting in our soul, and planted deep into our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. As Owen mentioned, the children are with us this morning. I sent Judy a text the other day, and I mentioned children, and I think I might have mistakenly made her think that the babies as well. And that would have maybe been a bit too much. So the babies, I think, are in nursery. But if they break out, we will not send them back. This morning, in light of Brother Larry's passing, I wanted to do something not only to honor the Lord, but also to honor Larry. And so, if the wheels fall off this bus, just go ahead and let it start coasting for a while. But I wanted to invite the kids up into the first pews up here. So, children, if you are normally not with us during this time, will you please come and occupy these front pews? I can name names. I know your names. Coben, you're relaxed back there, but why don't you come up here? Come on, kids. You can join Faith and Zeph, or you can sit on the other side. But I know this. Mace kids, if you want to go over to the rest, you can go over there too if you want. You don't have to be by yourself. Or you can. I know this. I know that Mr. Larry, or Grandpa Larry to some of us, loves the kids. Hey, Grant, how you doing? He's like, I'm going to go with my buddy. But it's too far. Hey, if you guys want to go, you guys want to go over there? Okay. They're stuck. I stapled them down before we got started. Brother Larry loved children. He loved preaching the gospel to the children. He gave his life, a ministry to the children, because of things that Greg mentioned earlier. Jesus never chased the children away. He said, let them come to me. And Johnny even dared me, I think, to throw candy out this morning. So you guys got to stay awake. All right. I scaled things back like five words or so. So we should keep the kids' attention this morning. All right. And this morning, we want to address something because something very special happened over the past week. And as I mentioned, Brother Larry went, Grandpa Larry went home. He went home. You know, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8, Paul writes there, "I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." To be absent from the body and be at home with the Lord. And I want you guys to know that when we die, we don't really die. When we die, our body dies, but we have a soul. And our soul leaves our body and goes up to heaven to be with God. Have you guys ever seen a rocket shuttle like launch into the sky? Have you seen that? I'll have to show you later, Zeph. I'm sure we can find one on YouTube. This rocket, right? They count down and then blast off, and this rocket like flies up into the sky. And have you ever seen these huge tanks on the side of that rocket? They just drop down, right? They're not allowed to go to space. They need, the rocket needs those tanks to blast off into space. And so those tanks kind of like stay here. And the space shuttle goes into space. And that's kind of like what happens with us. Only we don't fly like that. We probably fly a lot faster. Our body, it just stays here. Our body stays here. But our soul goes up to be with God. To be with our Creator. It happens like that, fast, okay? But what does it mean to be at home with the Lord? Who here has a home? Okay, some kids have a home. We've got to talk to some of the parents up here. Some kids have a home. Good job, Zeph. You can put your hand down now. What's it mean to be at home with the Lord? To be at home with the Lord is to say that you're going to remain there. You're going to dwell there. You're going to live there. It means that wherever God is in His home, that His home now becomes your home. Your home is now His home. You're at home with the Lord. Now, where is God's home? Grant. Oh, man. You're in trouble. You're in trouble, Owen. Here you go, Grant. Better pass than catch, but we'll work on that, Grant. God's home's in heaven, right? Is heaven there? Yeah, okay, there we go, right? Heaven's up there. Can we just fly up to heaven and go and see God and say, "Hey, God, how you doing?" And we can't do that, right? Impossible. And why? Not sure I understood that, but we can't just fly up to God. We can't just go check in on heaven and see how heaven's going, right? There's another reason why we can't go straight up to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, Paul the Apostle writes this. Think about this, guys. He writes that God dwells in unapproachable light. God dwells in unapproachable light. That means you cannot approach it. You can't go to this spectacular light that God has. And you know what that verse is talking about when it says that? It's talking about how God is glorious. And God is so holy, meaning God has never sinned and God will never sin. God is completely different than us, completely separate from us and how we are. He's holy. He's perfect. And because of God's perfect holiness and all of His wonderful character, including His beauty, It makes him shine with a radiance and a glory that is so powerful that if you were to look at it, you may become blind. And so it's unapproachable light. And you know what? We learn about this in the book of Exodus. Have you guys ever read the book of Exodus or anything in Exodus? I think you have. In Exodus, we read about Moses. Are you guys familiar with Moses? And Moses, we know. What about the adults? Adults, do we know Moses? Good. You know, in Exodus 19:16, we hear about one time when God's glory from heaven, it actually came down onto a mountain and it rested on a mountain. And in Exodus 19:16, it talks about how it changed everything. It says that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound, so that all the people, or all of Israel in the camp, trembled. They trembled. Can you imagine if you went out when we were done with church and you opened the doors and you looked at our mountains and you seen this huge cloud come down from the sky and rest on the mountains and lightning flashing all through the cloud and all around the cloud in a way that it looks like it was consuming the mountain with fire? How many of you would want to go up on that mountain when it did that? No way. Like the Israelites, we would all tremble. We would all tremble. But you know what? God called Moses to go up that mountain. And he told Moses that nobody else was allowed to go up that mountain but Moses. Moses was allowed to go up that mountain, but he said everybody else needs to stay away. In fact, if any animal even got close to the mountain and came up to the mountain like that, the animal would be struck dead, consumed by God and His holiness. So powerful. But by a special invitation, Moses was allowed to go up to that mountain. Moses was allowed to go up that mountain. And in Exodus 24:15, it says, "Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, God called Moses from the midst of the cloud." God called Moses. And Moses went. And as Moses went, the Israelites seen him. And in verse 17 it says, "And to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountain." Would you guys be scared if you saw somebody go up that mountain, if that mountain had that cloud and all the lightning? Might be scared for him. Everybody saw just an awesome display of God's glory. Remember, God dwells in unapproachable light because of His holiness. And yet God invited Moses, and only Moses, to go up there. But you know what? That wasn't the only time that Moses went up there. And that wasn't the only time that Moses went up there to talk to God. In fact, Moses used to talk to God like you would talk to a friend, face to face, in a casual conversation, in a sense. But one time, Moses had a special prayer request. Have you ever had a special prayer request? What about a big prayer request? Like helping your football team win or something like that. Sometimes those are big prayer requests. Moses had a very big prayer request. Moses asked God to let him see His glory. Moses wanted to see God's glory. You know that? He wanted to see it. In Exodus 33:20 it says, "But God said, 'You cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live.'" No man can see God and live. "Then the Lord said, 'Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away and you may see my back, but my face you cannot see. And so God, in his great holiness, invites Moses to come up, but Moses is not allowed to look at God face to face, because if he were to do that, he would be consumed by God's great holiness. So instead, God created a special hiding place for Moses and covered Moses while he passed by so that Moses would be able to still see some of God's glory. How nice is God? He's nice. He could have said, nope. But God wanted Moses to see some of God's glory. And God wants us also to see his glory. And like Moses, God will also hide us somewhere so that we can see God's glory. He'll hide us in Christ. You know what? Moses was up there for 40 days. And when he came down different. Do you guys know how he came down different? How did he come down different? He came down glowing. Man, some PK is going on today, huh? All right, now all these questions are going to be answered, and I just want to let you know I'm out of candy because I thought it was going to go crazy in here. I thought adults were going to be answering questions, but no one... All right. He came down glowing. Exodus 34:29, it says, it came about when Moses was coming down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands as he was coming down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because of his speaking with God. So when Aaron and all the sons of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. They told him to veil his face, to cover his face. Right? God's glory is so bright that Moses' face is shining from being around God's glory for 40 days. Who in here has glow-in-the-dark stars on their ceiling? Mace kids, you can put your hands down because they have glow-in-the-dark dinosaurs. Nothing but the best. Okay, thank you for correcting me. Do we know how they work? How these? It's really a scientific wonder how these glow-in-the-dark ceiling stars work, right? You turn your light on, and there's like some magic in there. They absorb the light, and then you turn the light off, and then, bingo, the lights are glowing because they absorb some of that special energy that was in the light. That wasn't too scientific, but... You know, Moses' face kind of was doing the same thing. Just from taking in some of being around God's glory. That he went out from there and he was shining. He was shining. And you know what? Moses isn't the only person that was able to see God's light. We have Ezekiel sees it from the earth, and he looks up and he sees someone in heaven glowing like bronze. But what about the Apostle Paul, who was on the road, and next thing you know, all the way from heaven, God shines his glory and light, and it comes down and almost strikes Paul, and he falls down to his face. He falls down to the ground, just like Moses did when Moses was up on that mountain. Only the difference is that Paul ended up being blinded by it. Temporarily, Paul was blinded by this glorious light. In Acts 9, it says, and he was traveling, and it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice. Whose voice did Paul hear? Jesus. It's kind of like when you're in Sunday school and someone asks a question about somebody. Either say Jesus, and if they say no, then just say Moses or, you know, Paul, you're going to get it right. But I think somebody actually knew it was Jesus' voice, right? It was Jesus' voice. You know, no person can go into God's presence and see God's glory and live. None. You know, David wrote a psalm where he addressed this. You know, David wrote Psalm 24. Are you guys familiar with Psalm 24? It's right after Psalm 23. Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4, David writes this: Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may ascend? Or who may go up to the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? Who may stand in God's holy place? And David writes this: He who has clean hands and a pure heart. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Only the pure in heart are able to stand in God's holy place. And that's why sin separates us from God. Because sin will keep us from having a pure heart. You know, Jesus spoke about the pure in heart in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart." For what? They shall see God. They shall see God. The only way that we are able to stand in God's holy place and see Him is to have a pure heart. Is to have a pure heart. That is the heart of every person who finds forgiveness in the Lord Jesus. Every person that finds forgiveness of their sin based on their faith in Jesus Christ will have a pure heart and will, in fact, see God. They will see God. If we trust in Jesus and we ask for Him to forgive our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. That's what His Word says. He's faithful to forgive us. And in Matthew 5:8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Why are they blessed? Blessed means happy. Why are they blessed? Because they're happy that they're going to see God. You know who else was happy to see God? Grandpa Larry was happy to see God. Grandpa Larry talked and dreamt, envisioned seeing God from the moment of his salvation, just like all of us. And Grandpa Larry was a missionary. And I can't say was, because it's kind of hard to preach Jesus in heaven to everybody that's just going to say yes, right? Now, he took a journey that no man on earth could take. And that's being drawn into the presence of God. Drawn past unapproachable light because his sins were forgiven and he had a pure heart. And if you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and he's forgiven you of your sin, you have a pure heart as well, that the Lord will guarantee that you will see him and see his face. So when we talk about Grandpa Larry, Brother Larry, Awana Commander Larry, and we ask, where is he? And we say, he's at home with the Lord. What is at home with the Lord? Being at home with the Lord is to say that somebody is dwelling with the Lord surrounded by all of His glory. So when we think of Mr. Larry, and when our hearts take us to want to pray for Mr. Larry, a simple prayer would be this: Lord, help Grandpa Larry to just keep his eyes open and to be able to take all of God's glory in, to fix his gaze upon his Savior and rejoice. And rejoice. So we don't say that Grandpa Larry is dead. We can say his body died. But the Lord Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. So, Mr. Larry and any other faithful Christian that was in Christ and died and passed on to glory, we can say their body definitely died. And not only did their body die, sins reigning throughout their body also died, and their soul has been separated from it and is in the presence, past going beyond unapproachable light, to bask in God's glory and take in and rejoice everything that only a saved heart can dream of. Exodus 15:11 says, Who is like you among the gods, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in praise, working wonders? And Psalm 16:11, in your presence is the fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The Lord Jesus said, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Craig family and Newberry Community Church, where is Brother Larry? Where is Grandpa Larry? He's in glory where God is honoring him. I hope that we can be comforted by God's word. Let's go before our gracious and glorious God in prayer. Father, I thank you for giving us this time to reflect on your word. And I thank you for the amazing testimony of your saint, our beloved friend, husband, father, brother, grandfather, Larry. I thank you for fulfilling his greatest dreams and greatest wonder in you. You're faithful, Lord, and you said that you were preparing a place for us. Thank you. And so now we cling to this promise. Help us, Lord, to entrust our soul to your care, to be thankful for what you have promised us, to rejoice in a Savior that never breaks his word. And give us a day where we honor you in the way that we think about who you are and who you are to us. In Jesus' name, amen.